I don't know if you know it or not, but you entered into kind of an experience this weekend here called the Compassion Experience. And I know that oftentimes, I know that this is probably pretty common for all of us, that sometimes we feel a little overwhelmed just by looking around the world and all of the pain and the suffering that we see, don't we? I mean, we all live in a world that we see hurt, we see people struggling with suffering every single day. Maybe we're going along in our own life and we have had something happen in our life, some kind of trauma, and suddenly we start to experience some suffering and some discomfort and pain. And so I want to take a look at Jesus and how Jesus responds to poverty and to suffering and to the poor. And just see what we can learn from that. In Matthew 19:21, it says, Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." Jesus had a tremendous amount of compassion on the poor. And you know, sometimes we think that with Jesus in our life, everything's going to get cleaned up and pretty, you know, and we're all going to look quite nice and have this benefit of, you know, Christianity and blessing and abundance, and that's God's heart for us. But the truth is that everything that we have is by His grace and what He's given us. None of us have actually worked that hard to do for ourselves the things that we've achieved. We've been able to do that by God's grace and because of His mercy. And the word passion actually comes from a Latin word that means to suffer. And then when you put the letters C-O-M on the front of that, it means with. And so compassion, to have compassion, is simply to suffer with someone. And one of the best ways that I've found to, you know, actually ask God to stir that up in me is to literally try to put myself in somebody's shoes, live in the shoes of somebody in need, and think about, identify with, what is that like? What does it feel like to have that much need, or to be poor in spirit, or to be poor physically, or to have pain physically? And Jesus often felt, you know, He would look at crowds of people, Scripture tells us. He would look at the crowds and He would see the more people that gathered, the more people in pain, the more people that were hurting and suffering. And the Bible says that Jesus would look at the crowds of people and He saw them as harassed and helpless and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd. And it stirred Him to compassion. He felt in his core the compassion of God for people when he saw what they were dealing with. And then He asks us, if we're followers of Jesus, to feel that kind of compassion and suffer with others just like He does. But how do we do that? Because generally we're on a bit of a mission. I know, you know, a lot of my goals in life are to get to the place where I'm more comfortable, right? Like, you know, eliminate pain. That's a good day. The more comfortable that we feel, and, you know, the better off the happier we think we are. And it's fascinating to meet people with so little and see, you know, that all they have is Jesus, and to see the joy that they have in their life. But oftentimes, Jesus would see the crowds and then He asks us to have the same kind of compassion that He does. And compassion is just this hallmark. It's a hallmark of Jesus Christ, who was like constantly moved. That compassion is what motivated Him. It's where everything else came out of that. And He faced human need every day, and obviously a broken world, which He came to save. Now, we're not talking about compassion because we're bad at it at Duluth Vineyard, or because we see a lack of it, or because, you know, we better get things ship shape and get this in order. Actually, I want to give you a look at just, you know, some of Duluth Vineyard's compassion efforts even recently. Duluth Vineyard gave $26,750 to buy food for our food shelf just in 1 month, in Compassion Month in March. You know how we invite people to put money in those poor boxes that are on the walls as they go? $26,000 came in 1 month. And then we got a matching grant from Minnesota Food Share. Not a matching grant. They give us up to $10,000. So that turns that into $36,750, which is basically will keep us running for months, and we'll be able to be very generous to the people in need right here in the Twin Ports community. Fruit of the Vine also is our food shelf. It's given 75,667 pounds of food to the hungry. And we've had over 1,533 households visit our food shelf already just this year, since the beginning of the year. We've served many through 8,412 individual visits to the Fruit of the Vine food shelf. We also have now a weekly clothing closet where people can, as they're waiting for their groceries to be packed and to shop on the shelves for food, they can go into the... It's just this couple has owned it, and they have just labored over making it beautiful, and everything is organized and folded, and it looks, you know, like a retail store, and our guests get to come in and pick out clothing that they need, and some of it is, you know, very, very practical because it's seasonal. If you need a coat, you can find a coat there, or jeans or whatever. Baby clothes right on up to all different sizes. Duluth Vineyard also gave away 7 different meals at Finals Relief Night over 24 hours and served over 700 college students just this semester. We also have a Love Justice ministry. It's our anti-sex trafficking ministry that's partnering with local organizations to serve victims of sex trafficking. And they are really actually getting quite a lot of traction right now in some of the things that they're doing. You know, I had the opportunity, I don't have this bullet point up there, but I had the opportunity when we do our Christmas Eve service, we do an offering that we give the entire thing away. And lots of visitors and people, your friends and family are here, of course, for Christmas Eve services. That offering totaled over $20,000. Half of it went to Vineyard Church Planting globally. The other half we gave to, after researching and seeing the amazing work that they're doing locally, we gave to the Women's Care Center. And I had the privilege of taking a couple of our HLI students down. And boy, I'll tell you, it is fun to hand somebody $10,500 and watch them come undone because they can't believe it. And I said, this is your community. This is, yes, some Vineyard Duluth folks, but it's also people that were here for Christmas that knew we were going to give this to you because we believe in the work that you're doing right here in our own Twin Ports. That's a lot of compassion. You know, and compassion's just not money. There's hands and feet and people putting right foot in front of left foot and engaging and doing. Where do we find that kind of motivation? We don't dig deep and find that kind of motivation without God helping us to engage our sense of empathy. God puts that, he transforms us. He redeems our life. And then out of a place of blessing and redemption, we can't keep it to ourselves. And once you start to be grateful for what God has done for you, you become a very generous person. It starts to overflow out of your life. Listen to this out of Deuteronomy 15:7. It says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. God wants us as followers of Jesus to do something like Jesus did. When Jesus slipped into the skin of humanity, into the skin of the human race that would nail him to that wooden cross to die, he was expressing compassion at his deepest level because compassion surrenders our own comfort. It surrenders our own life. It surrenders our own right to see someone else benefit. There's always kind of that dying to ourselves, dying to our own comfort, to see someone else have that same benefit who's standing in need in front of us. And then Jesus says to us, just as the Father has sent me into the world, so I send you. So to put ourselves in the shoes of people who are in need, to put ourselves in the very shoes and the suffering, to identify with that, and then when you feel someone else suffering, when you it starts to do something to you, it starts to cause you to feel something, compassion starts to get stirred up, and it causes us to want to take action. The word mercy is about compassion, and it's about recognizing someone's need, but you know what follows the full definition of mercy? Is that you actually take action. You don't just see the need and acknowledge it, but you actually do something. That's being merciful on behalf of people who are suffering. But you start to care when you put yourself in other people's shoes. You start to identify with compassion, with their suffering, and you start to feel the need yourself a little bit. And that's hard for us because we don't like the pain of it. We don't like the pain and the reality that someone is standing in front of us in need for several different reasons. You know, sometimes I think, have you ever looked at someone and thought that they're just too needy? You're like, I don't have enough to help them. And I know that I can't meet all of their needs. It just feels too big, like, of a need. And so you think, you know, I don't have enough. It's just not even gonna hardly make a dent. Jesus takes that little bit. So often, I know we all feel this, so often he takes that little bit that we have to offer and he puts power and authority on it and he does big things with it. Think about the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You have a little boy who has a little lunch with two little fish and some bread. And Jesus puts power and authority on that and feeds 5,000 people because he's good at that. He's good at taking that little bit that we have to offer. Just a little bit in the hands of Jesus goes a long, long way. But we still have to give him that little bit that we have available because of his awesome power and authority, and then it has much greater impact than we even could have imagined. And I'm sure that most of us feel somewhat helpless when we realize, like, I'm really pretty inadequate to meet this ocean of needs that I'm faced with or that I see in the world. It's not that we're not concerned, but we get overwhelmed. And, you know, we probably feel like we can't even make a dent. We don't feel like we have that much to offer. But God isn't asking us to meet all of the needs. But what he is saying is, give me a little bit. Give me what you have. Just say yes to what you have. And one thing I've figured out, maybe the hard way, is that when God asks you to do something, he never has the expectation that you are going to obey him without giving you everything that you need to do the thing that he's asking you to do. He doesn't do that. If he's asking you to do it, it's because he trusts you, that you're someone he can give the resources to, and that you will do the right thing with it. I think that people who have a lot oftentimes are, and they're the most generous, are the ones that God's like, no, that's a person I can trust. Because they're going to be like a funnel. And they're going to let, you know, things flow through them. They're going to let those resources flow through them. But even when we're tired, even when we feel empty-handed, even when, you know, we don't have enough, if we just give him our yes, if we give him our will, and we let him pull us in and let him participate, you know, in us and do what he wants in us and put his power and authority on our little offering, then he's the one who makes a miracle out of it. He's the one who actually meets the deepest needs that people have, that we're just saying yes and giving our will to it. At one point in Isaiah 58, 5 through 7, God is speaking to the prophet Isaiah about the nation of Judah. And he says this, "This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. And then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and I'll say, here I am." You might not know this about Vineyard churches, but Vineyard churches from the very beginning of our movement have always had a posture of leaning toward the lost, the poor, the outcast, the marginalized, and the outsider. And we do that because of compassion, because we believe that they need and they are God's children, and that he wants them to experience compassion through us. And that we're all just one beggar helping another beggar to Jesus. We're all just standing level ground at the cross, sinners who we only stand before God, utterly dependent on the mercy of God and the grace of God and our own needs that he's met for us. And so we believe that the ministry in Jesus' name should be expressed in really concrete ways through the local church. That's like one of the reasons why he leaves the church here, so that we can express that part of his heart. And that if there's people in need, if the poor are standing in front of us, we should be serving them just like it's Jesus himself. I mean, this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of the Vineyard movement and a Vineyard church. It's expressing that love of Christ in our local community in really practical ways. And in the Vineyard, we want people to say, wow, these people, they saw me, they know me and all of my needs, and they did not turn their back on me. And everyone, we sang this morning, everyone needs compassion to see the kingdom of God. And then ultimately, by meeting those needs, we're inviting everyone to experience that, experience God's love for them, but we're also inviting them in to the community and saying, you belong here, and everything that we have is yours. And ultimately, they're invited in and woven into the community of Christ, and we know that that's going to change their lives for good. It's going to change them forever. Look at these three verses from Proverbs with me. Proverbs 14:31. You insult your maker when you exploit the powerless, but when you're kind to the poor, you honor God. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Proverbs 14:21. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. I don't know if we think of when we pass someone in need, if we think of that as sin, oftentimes, for them to go unnoticed. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my personal kind of story with Compassion International. In November of 2010, I received an invite to travel with 15 other Vineyard female pastors, and it was this opportunity to travel to Uganda and take a really close-up look at Compassion International Ministries. And we visited 5 different local churches that ran Compassion International programs for women, children, and families. And currently, Compassion runs 3 primary programs. One of them is just survival for pregnant women, because they often die, and their babies often die. And so they offer a program for infants up to 3 years old and have saved many, many mothers and children's lives just with good education and medical help and nutrition. They also have a child sponsorship program for children that are 3 to 22 years old, and a leadership development program. If you've been a sponsored child who grew up in Compassion program through a local church there, and you want to continue on to university, they have a way of sponsors helping to support that effort, and they oftentimes will graduate university, become leaders in the community, and begin to sow really positive things back into their own communities. Let me tell you something. I cannot say enough about Compassion International's efforts and what they are doing around the world for families. And they do all of their ministry through local churches, just like ours, in countries around the world. And they're in 27 or so countries. And all of the programs that are attached to the local church and run by Compassion Country staff, they are by indigenous people who live in those communities and speak the language in the country that they serve. And then they resource the churches to support lots of children and their families in their community. And many families, of course, they lack food and clean water and decent shelter and bedding and clothing and just health care, some of the general things that, you know, we take for granted. And they face things we don't even have to think about, like child marriage or child trafficking or physical abuse and AIDS and HIV and violence. And so Compassion International works very closely with these church partners. And what they do is they register children from highly impoverished areas in unreached communities. And they begin to minister to them as early as possible and help them, you know, for as long as possible so that they can finish well and become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. And the children will come to the church daily. They receive meals. They receive medical care. They have dental care. They have hygiene education. They teach them to read. They teach them to write. They teach them English. They teach them about Jesus. And they teach them skills that will generate some income for their families. And almost all the children that come to Christ, all the children, I should say, that get sponsored through Compassion International, they almost all come to Jesus shortly after being sponsored by a Compassion International program. And then their mamas come to Christ, and then their daddies come to Christ, and so you have a whole family. And having been there myself in the villages of Uganda, I was most impressed by the integrity of the country staff in Compassion International, the people that are on the ground, being the hands and feet of Jesus in the lives of these children daily. And, you know, the $35 a month, or you can add a little bit more if you want to supply some HIV and AIDS medication, which we do for our sponsor. That one child, that one sponsored child gives that child family provision as well. So they only sponsor one child per family because that amount of money per month from me is enough for the whole family. So they're literally, you know, you think you're sponsoring a child, but you're kind of adopting a whole family. And that family receives sometimes, you know, a chicken or a pig or a goat or a plant or some way that they could, something that would give them food. I've met a family that had been given little coffee bean plants, and they were harvesting coffee beans and roasting them and selling them for their family's income. It oftentimes gives mattresses to the whole family or bedding. It gives them skills. They learn how to sew. They learn how to make clothing and weave and all different kinds of things, medical care and education. It's an amazing amount of help that each family gets. And a spiritual impact on that family when just one child is sponsored in that family through Compassion International. And I'll tell you something, the darkness is so extreme in many of these cultures around the world that CI serves. And it's because there's witchcraft and there's, you know, poverty and sickness and disease. And so when a family comes to Christ, it's fascinating just how much they shine so brightly in their little dark village. They just stand out because, you know, they shine so bright because there's so much just darkness around them. Believers look like beautiful followers of Jesus, and everything in their life changes. You know, lots of countries and around the world, the children and the women are not considered very, very valuable or affirmed or loved, or the children aren't really even held very much. And so when families come to Christ, and it starts one child, usually, and then a mama, and then a daddy. When they come to Christ, they start to treat their families different. And a father will start to respect his wife and treat her with God's love. And they start to hold their children. And all of a sudden, the village is looking at them going, that looks different. That doesn't look like what the rest of us are experiencing. It's an incredible impact to see that the way it affects, you know, even their environment, their lives, but then it just spreads. That kind of love spreads. I met children that had grown up in the local church who were sponsored in Compassion International programs. They had lost both parents and were dying literally on the streets when they were taken in by someone in the church and then became sponsored. And they were literally thriving now, years later, and they will be. I mean, this is a life-changing moment for them to get a sponsor. And for me, a highlight of the trip was to preach in one of the local churches there. The church had Compassion International staff and a program, but God gave me the privilege of just sharing a message with the church about bringing Jesus into the center of our suffering. And it was one of the most humbling moments of my ministry experience, just to be asked to teach in this Ugandan church to these beautiful believers who just radiate the love of Christ, and they're just so grateful for so little that they have, but they responded with such receptivity. And as we led ministry time, we prayed for probably 60 or more people who had suffered all kinds of disappointment and loss and shame, and sometimes it's just simply because of poverty or because, you know, someone had been sinning against them. And I literally just had to sit down and just weep because of the amazing privilege that I felt just being able to be with them on that morning. And from there, I got to meet my own compassion-sponsored child. I met her that morning at this church, and our child's name is Violet, and this is Violet. She was five when Michael and I started sponsoring her. And the day that I met Violet, God just broke my heart for her. She is this beautiful child of God who just needed a family to sponsor her. And today she's thriving and she's learning about Jesus every day through the Compassion International program that she's a part of in her local church. And I also sponsored two other children for our own Vineyard Kids to sponsor and to begin to write letters to. And so we have their pictures downstairs, and our Vineyard Kids can bring a quarter each week and support these two children. This is Wazwa. He had a little twin sister and his mama that came to meet me. When I first met Wazwa, see, I'm squeezing him and crying, and he's like, why is this big white lady squeezing me and crying? I have no idea what is going on. But he got a soccer ball and a sponsor out of the deal, so... And then this is, and because Wazwa's in the program, his sister will be able to have all the benefits of the program too. So again, we're supporting, sponsoring Wazwa, but his whole family, and they know it. Like, his mama knows it, that both of her kids now will benefit from the program. And then we also sponsor, our Vineyard Kids sponsor Jennifer. This is Jennifer. I met her when she was six that day in Uganda. Today she's about 13 or 14. And this little girl would not stop smiling. She had been waiting for a sponsor for a long time. And they know it when they don't have a sponsor, and they know the kids that do. And she knew that somebody was taking her into their life that day. And she was so happy. She beamed like that the whole time and held on to me the whole time. She just was so happy that she was being sponsored, and she knew what it meant, and she knew that it was going to change her life. As a sponsor, I love how easy it is to be a sponsor, because we have the privilege of giving Violet a birthday present or our Christmas gifts. And Compassion says, it's just really easy. You can go online and write this little letter to her and attach little pictures to it. And I tell her how much God loves her. And then when it's her birthday, they encourage, no more than $20 or $25, which is actually enough to buy a birthday gift, a chicken for the family, and, other benefits, like sometimes shoes or a dress. And so they'll actually go shopping, wrap that stuff up, bring it back and give it to them and say, this is from your sponsor, Brenda and Michael. And then they take pictures and send them to me with their birthday gifts and the things that they got. And I have one of my favorite pictures, I didn't get it in here, but of Violet, she's holding a chicken. I think this was a Christmas present that we had given the family, but they got a chicken, and the chicken was so big it was gangling down the whole length of her body, and she had her dress on that she got for Christmas and her shoes, and she had her arm wrapped around this chicken, and she's just smiling really big. And that was going to be her family's Christmas. That was her family's Christmas dinner. But as a sponsor, when I write her, I just tell her how much we love her. I tell her that we pray for her. I tell her that God has an amazing plan, an amazing purpose for her life. And I encourage her to learn everything that she can about Jesus at her Compassion International program at her church. And I just appreciate how Compassion International helps me stay connected with Violet, even though we're continents away and continents apart. I tell her I have, your picture on my desk. I have your picture in my kitchen. But they've just designed this beautiful system of how we can write letters. I can go online and just write a really quick note anytime. I can attach pictures to it so she can see who we are and our family. I sent her a picture of a snowman that we built, and she had never seen snow, of course, and so she pasted that little snowman up by her bed, by her pillow. It was one of her favorite pictures. But they look forward to writing to their sponsors, and they, when they receive a letter and they gather the CI staff, the country staff have the child come and they read the letter, they translate it for them, and they know that they have a friend that cares when they get that correspondence, and so they really do look forward to that, and it's a fun way to have relationship. And then, you know, she always writes back and she tells me what she's learning and she thanks me for loving her and sponsoring her, and oftentimes I just look at those little notes and I just I feel the Holy Spirit on it, and I just start to cry over Violet's little note and her little picture, and that God's changing her life forever. Her life will never be the same because we met her one day and we picked up her packet and we said yes to just having compassion for her. Now, I know you saw the Compassion Experience exhibit right out in front in the parking lot, and I had the opportunity to go through the Compassion Experience on Friday. We've had lots of folks come and visit and share in this experience to see what it's like. Basically, you're kind of stepping into the shoes of a child, and there's three different children from three different countries, and they're telling you their story, and they tell you what their life was like before they were sponsored, and then how they got a sponsor through their local church, and then how that has changed their, and these are true life stories of children from three different countries, and it's very, very touching and moving, and as you walk through the exhibit, you just kind of feel like you're right there in a different culture, and you hear the story of some of these children. And then they have some packets in the exhibit out there of children from all different countries that you can actually pick up and you can sponsor. We also have another ministry called Bana Munsange Ministries, which is being developed by a Vineyard Church in Rwanda to invest in the future of children that are living in poverty right there around the local Vineyard. You know, the Vineyard is in like 90 different countries in the world, and there's Vineyard churches everywhere. And so this particular church wants to see the children that live around the church have the same experiences and benefits as some of these compassion children, but they don't have compassion there yet. So they've kind of started this program very similar to compassion. But the Vineyard Church there, they want these children to be sponsored as well and given the opportunity to have, they have a little school there, a Vineyard school. And they're teaching them through, they're using the church's resources to reach out and extend love to these families. And they want these children to have medical insurance, and it potentially could save their lives to have medical treatment. And so children there are developing some relationships with their teachers and their peers and the leaders. And I want to introduce to you Anna LaCour. She's a young woman who's a member here. She's been on our staff. And there's some pictures here of Anna in Rwanda. And she's here with us today. And she's a representative in the U.S. that's helping to find sponsors for these children in Rwanda that live around this Vineyard Church. So I invite you to stop by the Welcome Center and talk to Anna, and she can give you more information about sponsoring children there. In 2010, we had a Compassion Weekend after I came back from Uganda. And the Duluth Vineyard sponsored nearly 300 children in one weekend. And it's very emotional. I've been all weekend. I've been crying and looking at people's children that they're meeting and choosing to sponsor this weekend. But if you sponsor a child currently, like we have for a number of years, because we started some years ago, or in compassion, or let's just say from any other child poverty organization, would you just stand up right now? And I want to see how we're representing. That's what I'm talking about. God bless you. Bless you guys. Yeah, thank you. So you know what I'm talking about, and you know that there's a story behind every little face. And basically today, I just want to call you again. I want to call you once again as a people of Christ's love and compassion to join together and to sponsor a child today. And we have about, 2,500 people that would call this their home church. And many of you weren't here in 2010. You weren't a part of that when we did it before. And so I've asked them for 250 child packets that they have brought with them. And we have particularly, we're focusing on a couple of countries in our lobby here. We have 125 children. I know several have been sponsored already this weekend, but in Mexico and then also in Uganda. And the reason why we're focusing on those countries is because the Vineyard here in Duluth partners with Vineyard churches there, and we go there every year. We have mission trips, and you could go on a mission trip with the Duluth Vineyard, and Compassion International will go to great lengths to bring your child to you to meet you. And so there's a benefit of sponsoring in those countries that we are already partnering with other vineyards and going to. Doesn't mean you're restricted to that. You may sponsor a child in any country in the world. And so we encourage that. But imagine going on a Vineyard mission trip and getting to meet your sponsored child. Jennifer lived about 4 hours away from where I was in Kampala, and a country stat, one of the Compassion International staff in her program out in her village, they paid for that staff person to bring her on a bus and spend the night in a hotel. And she'd never been on a bus, she'd never been out of her village when she came to meet me. And it was just to meet me. And so they are very passionate about seeing children meet their sponsors and want to see that happen. All right, we have tables set up in the lobby with lots of packets on it that you can check out. You can sit, you can stop by and meet Anna at the Welcome Center for the Rwanda sponsor program. And then I just want to encourage you to take the time, either today or tomorrow. Will be open all day till I think 7:30, 10 to 7:30, I think, tomorrow, or 6:30 on Monday. You can go through that compassion experience. And you know what? If we run out of packets, we can get more. I think that we'd like to see as many of them picked up today as possible, but we may end up being able, if we have some left, we may be able to keep them 1 week, but after that, we want to get them back to Compassion. I do ask, this is very important, and I ask you to honor this request. As you look through the children's packets, please only take a child's packet after you've completed the sponsorship card and turned it in, because if that packet goes home with you and you're thinking about it, and then you never sponsor that child, it actually takes them out for months. There's only one packet per child. So, it takes a couple months before that child is going to have another opportunity to be sponsored. So we just ask that you leave the packets unless you're sponsoring, and then by all means, please take the packet. You know, none of this makes any sense if it's guilt-driven or if I'm just trying to stir you up with emotions. I mean, that's going to wear off by the time you're sitting in that line waiting to get out of the parking lot here in a few minutes. But if God does something in us, if God puts that empathy in us, he can help us practice being compassionate people. Why don't you guys stand up with me, if you will? Father, we ask that you would, even now, just pour out your Spirit on us. Come, Holy Spirit. And God, we certainly don't want to do compassion out of guilt, or just to get somebody off our back, or so we don't have to, feel like we're not missing out. All those reasons aren't the reason, God. We want to do it from that place of true compassion that you put in us, like Jesus did. Everything he did was motivated out of that place of compassion. And so, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come and pour that on your people. Just pour that on your people today. And that place in us that gets afraid, it feels too risky, we don't know how much they're going to need, we don't know if we can do it, would you just let your peace come, and would you calm that? And that place in us that we all have some selfishness, we want to be comfortable, we just surrender that to you. We surrender that and say, You've always taken care of us, and we can trust you. And would you lift that place that just that oppression of just never having enough and concern and worry, and would you just lift that fear of not having enough off of us? Would we trust you? Would we put our eyes on you and trust you and follow you in this and change the life of a child today, God, forever? Their life will never be the same because of what you've done in us, what you've stirred, what you've put in us. We give you permission just to break our hearts, God, with your love. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come up, and I feel like today there's so much that we can respond to. If you want to be a person who's known before God as loving people the way that God loves people, and you want to listen to what he's speaking to you about today, then I invite you to come and say, I want to be crazy compassionate. I want to be known for being that generous, that crazy generous person. Not that I would get glory from that, but that people would see God's love for them. Because people don't do that without God's love. Maybe you feel even needy yourself in your spirit. Maybe you have spiritual poverty or physical poverty or physical pain. And, you know, you need a touch from God. You need encouraged. You need discouragement broken off of you. Or if you just want to engage in like some kindness, some kingdom kindness, and you want to see somebody that maybe you haven't been seeing as you go about your week, let's pray about that. We can pray. Let's pray about anything that you want to respond to. I invite you to come up as we worship here and just let God minister to those places, and let's just be people who are responsive to what he's inviting us to today. Bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here.